This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Primetime Stock Watch. What's all the hype? Are Isaac and Soup buying it or calling BS and unloading it fast?
Sounds to me like you guys are a couple of bookies.
Is the hype accurate or a bunch of hot gas? Before you buy or sell, listen close.
It's easy to grin when your ship comes in and you've got the stock market beat. But the man worthwhile is the man who can smile when his shorts are too tight in the seat.
Primetime Stock Watch is brought to you by 1-800-DIVORCE. When you need to take stock of your rights, 1-800-DIVORCE is on your side. Call 1-800-DIVORCE today.
All right. It's our Monday staple where Mike Lynn shines. Let's get into it.
You exercise Saquon Barkley's fifth-year option, so you're on the hook for a salary in 2022, and that can't be a good place for the Giants given how it's looked this season and seeing how he hasn't been able to stay healthy for the past few years. So when you look at his career numbers, they're trending in the wrong direction, but they're in alignment with all the other top running backs that we see around the National Football League. And I know Bart brought up the example of Zeke, but that's not looking too good. That contract extension don't look good for Jerry Jones right now, based on the productivity that he's giving you and in comparison to their number two running back in Tony Pollard. Right. And they're still on the hook for Zeke's contract next year. They can't get out of it until after 2022. So it just goes to show you, man, running backs are like hammers, and when a hammer breaks, you don't worry about repairing it. You go out and you find yourself a brand new hammer. The only problem with where the Giants are at and what the Carolina Panthers did and what the Dallas Cowboys did is that they invested significant draft capital in these guys.
That is Chris Canty, who is becoming an ESPN NFL voice on ESPN Radio, talking about running back contracts. This with the Christian McCaffrey news of the day is that he is out for the season after suffering another injury this year. He's missed a lot of the last 2 years after signing the massive deal he did with Carolina. Buy or sell, we will reach a point where teams will just stop giving big money contracts to running backs.
They should, but NFL teams are stupid. We've been talking about this for years. Stop giving them money. With the exception of King Henry, who, you know, got hurt, but he had been living up to it up until that point. Stop giving them money. Stop spending the number two overall pick on him. Pollard is the better back in Dallas, and he has for 2 years, and he costs nothing. And by the way, should you pick up an $8 million option on Barkley? No. Get rid of Daniel Jones, get rid of Barkley, and go cheap. Draft capital, I don't care that you spent the number two overall pick on him, which, by the way, don't draft a running back number two overall. You know, Leonard Fournette was a high pick. How did that work out for Jacksonville? Didn't. But now that he's just a reclamation project and didn't cost Tampa anything, you know, you can go out and you can get him on the cheap. Stop putting big resources into backs. Stop signing them to big second contracts. And if you are going to draft them high, certainly not number two, realize that you got 5 years of them, and then you move on and you draft the next one.
I sell this. You are going to start seeing teams pay more for running backs. Now you're going to say you're insane. Traditional running backs are going to become a thing of the past. I'd like to show you two exhibits. Exhibit A, Cordarrelle Patterson. Yeah. Exhibit B, Deebo Samuel. Teams are going to start putting receivers back there more and more and more, and those guys will get 8 to 10 carries a game. They will be elite wide receivers. They can put them in motion, get them on matchups they want, and we are going to see the running back position evolve. The traditional running back shouldn't get paid. Saquon Barkley, no thank you. Even Derrick Henry, as good as he's been, no. We're going to Dalvin Cook, no, move on. But we are going to start to see in the next 10 years the running back position transition to being more of a receiver, like a Deebo Samuel, a Cordarrelle Patterson, who's actually primarily a receiver, who they just get the ball in his hands 8 to 10 times in the game as a running back. and we are going to see those type of players get paid. But traditional running backs are going to become a thing of the past.
Debo, by the way, I know he hurt his groin, but what they're doing with him in San Francisco, dude, that guy is, there's not a more valuable non-quarterback in the league right now for an offense than what he's doing in San Francisco.
Contract year.
Yeah. Dude's an absolute beast.
Cordarrelle Patterson is a running back, but he's not.
Yeah.
And that's why I think they get paid. If you're just saying running backs, 25 carries a game, put them back there, running backs. Yeah. No, stop paying those guys. Good Lord.
Yeah, stop talking about Saquon Barkley. Like, he's got his own Nike shoe, and it's like, where he's the new Odell Beckham.
But
like, he had 1 year, and now you're trying to cram him down our throats. I don't care how good you are. If you can't be on the field, then even when he is on the field, he doesn't do anything in that offense.
290 yards and 2 touchdowns. That's what he's done combined the last 2 years.
Yeah, thanks.
No,
bye.
Thank you.
It looks like a collection of talent, not a team. It looks like a talent collection agency and not a football team. And that's a problem. That's a problem right now. And Sean's going to have to get that fixed very quickly, because now we're into the money time, so to speak, for the NFL, where every game counts because you have less and less of them. Everybody's jockeying right now. And they keep losing in the manner in which they're losing. It's going to be a problem.
That's Lewis Riddick talking about the LA Rams, who've now lost 3 in a row despite making multiple acquisitions that would appear to make them a better team in the last few weeks and before the trade deadline. Buy or sell, you do not believe in the Rams strategy.
Haven't believed in it the entire time. And I took a lot of flack for this in the offseason. I took a lot of flack for it the first 6 weeks of the season. I stuck by my guns. Look, I'm wrong a million times, but occasionally I'm right. And I was right about the Rams. The Rams are a superstar team. Remember a couple years ago when Philly put together and they went and got Nnamdi Asamoah and DeSean Jackson and all these guys and Michael Vick. And they're like, oh man, like Vince Young was on that team. And it's like, this is an all-star team. What happened to him? Bottom line is the Rams have an aging and not very good offensive line. They can't run the ball at all. And I know some of that is injury. And on defense, you have a good pass rush that isn't getting home right now. And you have one good corner that gets wasted because you don't even play him on the other team's best position player. You basically just stick him Richard Sherman style on one side, and teams are just moving their best players. See what Green Bay did away from him, and he's not following him. The Rams right now are nothing but a collection of talent, and they keep going all in and saying, oh, the salary cap doesn't matter, and we'll just keep adding more guys. And it's like when they got Von Miller, it was like, oh, you went and got Von Miller. Awesome. You're the second. By the way, if San Francisco keeps going on, you're going to be the third best team in your division, and you are not a contender right now. So, no, I have not bought into the Rams strategy. I didn't buy into it then, and I'm not buying into it now.
We did a show previewing the NFL before the year, and we talked about the NFC West and said, outside of Seattle, with the caveat that if Russell Wilson stays healthy, and he's always been healthy, now he got hurt, that any team in the West could finish anywhere from second to last.
Yeah.
That we could see a roadmap for anyone to finish in the 2, 3, or 4.
Yep.
That we thought only a couple teams had a chance to win it, and the team we didn't mention in that chance to win it was the Rams. Neither of us liked the Rams. I'm going to sound like a broken record here. It's wonderful to have a great corner and a great wide receiver. You have an aging quarterback. Your O-line's not great. You have no proven stud at running back who changes the game. Not very many teams have that. You've got Aaron Donald and not a whole lot else up front. Von Miller hasn't contributed much yet. John Johnson III was a phenomenal safety and tone setter for you and could come up and play the run. You let him walk to the Cleveland Browns. That move, for some reason, didn't get much hype. That dude's a beast. The Rams are in a little bit of trouble, and it would not shock me at all to see the Niners get them. Go Niners.
Look around at the teams that are climbing in the NFL.
Tough, physical, tone-setting teams.
Teams.
Yeah.
Teams. Not collection of talent. Teams. And the Rams, I don't know if it was an LA thing and you just opened a $5 billion stadium, but it was like, hey, we got to have cachet, and you mortgage your future for it. And that's the thing, is that if this doesn't work out, you're in some trouble.
You hit the nail on the head. He throws those little rockets. So he'll figure all that stuff out. But I thought, for the most part, we get that turnover to start the game. Offense gets down there. We're able to get a field goal out of it. And then we kind of hit a lull there where there was a lot of three and outs and defense battling, gave a couple of touchdowns. But that drive before the half was huge. I thought they did a great job. They worked all the way down the field, score that touchdown. We get a chance to lap them, which we did, which is big. And but in that second half, he made the plays he needed to make, and the offensive line did a great job opening up seams for our running backs, and I think we're averaging over 4.5 a clip, so it was a really good day offensively.
That is Jets head coach Robert Saleh talking about Zach Wilson, who returned from his knee injury that forced him to miss a couple of weeks. Didn't look terrible. Didn't look great. It was pretty typical of Zach Wilson so far here in his first year.
The definition of Zach Wilson.
That first pick was, I don't know what he was doing, but the rest of the game, he was fine. Buy or sell, you view Zach Wilson as someone who will become a solid starter at the very least in the next couple of years.
Can I go first?
Yeah, you can go first on that.
I think Zach Wilson sucks. I thought Zach Wilson sucked when he was at BYU. And he sucked until his last year. And then they played a bunch of bad teams. Yep. Bad teams. And he looked really, really good. And then they played Coastal Carolina, who's not great, but they were at least a top 25 team. And he sucked. He looked good playing a BYU broken schedule because of COVID. And if he wouldn't have had that year, he wouldn't have even been a draft pick. He had one good year against an embarrassing schedule. And I hated Zach Wilson. I had Zach Wilson as my last place quarterback out of the quarterbacks from last year. I told Suki was a bust. I said I wouldn't take him with the fifth round pick. Zach Wilson is god awful, and he belongs to the Jets. Congratulations, Jets. Way to jet it up again. I think Zach Wilson sucks.
Tell me how you really feel.
He sucks.
I can't follow
that. So you're
that.
Selling the stock then?
How much is it? No, sucks.
I can't follow that. I can't.
Zach Wilson's terrible. He was terrible at BYU. He's awful.
You're the BYU alum.
I am wearing a BYU football shirt right now.
He threw an interception because he underhand tossed it and hit his receiver in the back plate. And then somebody picked it off. Zach Wilson is not good.
That interception is not his fault. Come on. Lots of people decide to scramble and then throw an underhand ball into the back of your running back.
I dare you to say he's good.
I said he would be a solid starter at best.
No, he's not even going to be good in the XFL when that comes back. He's not good. He's not a good quarterback.
Can we talk about your thoughts on Mac Jones going into the draft?
Sure. I'm happy to. You know what I said about Mac Jones? He's a bad system fit for the 49ers, and it would be bad process to trade up two first-rounders to get him at 3 when you could get him at 10 or 11, but that he would be a solid quarterback. Do you remember that?
I love any time quarterback.
That's all you
need to say for Nemec.
You're wounded.
Nemec, quarterbacks, go.
Oh, I have hot takes.
Mac Jones, Trey Lance, 2 hours, fill it.
Trey Lance is going to be good. I still think Mac Jones, I was semi-wrong on Mac Jones. I thought Mac Jones would struggle more than he has. He's obviously been very solid. You asked me who I thought would be the best this year, and I said Mac Jones. Do you remember that? I think Mac Jones will regress a little bit. But, Zach Wilson is hot garbage on a plate.
Stop squirreling. Suk, I want your Zach Wilson thoughts. You have to follow it.
No, he's not going to be good.
Okay.
I'm not ready to write him off like Captain Quarterback is over there, but, dude, I haven't seen anything from him. And he's right about the BYU thing. He was not very good, and then they did play a garbage-ass schedule, and all of a sudden he looked like Pat Mahomes. So
he's Tim Tebow with a different religion.
Ooh.
That's all he is.
I love that.
I want that put on a T-shirt.
Herbert to throw, looking right all the way. It's off Eckler, intercepted at the 30-yard line. Surtain down the left side. He may go. 25-20. 10-5. Touchdown, Broncos. 69 yards on the reception.
Nice.
For the return of the interception, Surtain picks it off Herbert for a second time, and the Broncos lead it 27-7.
Well, this is partially because Andrew Nemec is in studio today for this show. I am a Broncos fan, and the Broncos beat the Chargers pretty handily yesterday. Now, he sent me a text. I was at the airport. They didn't have the game on, so I didn't know what was happening. He just said, Surtain! With like 3 exclamation points.
Another player that Nemec had the warm fuzzies for. He loved himself.
Yes. This is why I picked this clip, and I'd like you guys to only answer this question to tell me that my team is going to be good moving forward. Micah Parsons right now is the NFC.
He's hitting 325 right now. He's driving in 70.
Defensive kick and rake. Rookie of the year, defensive player of the year candidate. But Patrick Surtain's had a pretty good season at a really difficult position to play as a rookie player, a cornerback. He has 3 picks, which is the first time the Broncos have had a rookie cornerback with 3 picks since Steve Atwater. So, you know, put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Wow, if he's that guy.
So, yeah, buy or sell. Surtain will actually wind up being better than Parsons at the end of their respective careers.
Oh, I can't say that. I mean, look, I think longevity at
I
corner.
I asked for answers only to make me feel good, please.
Sorry. I'll give you this. Longevity at corner, maybe a little bit easier. You know, obviously, because, you know, injuries can play a role. But, you know, I love the fact that they're taking Micah Parsons and they're making him into an edge rusher. I mean, he can play off the ball and run sideline to sideline, but boy, and it's not really hand in the dirt. He rushes some more of a two-point stance, but have you seen some of his Pro Football Focus numbers? Since they started using him a couple weeks ago, he's got like the number one or number two success rate. I didn't look after this last week, but he's been one or two basically every week since he started doing this in pass rush win rate. You can't block him. The dude's an absolute beast, and his versatility is fantastic, so... Mike, it breaks my heart to say this, but no, he will not be the long-term better player. But
okay, how about this? Is Patrick Surtain the next Champ Bailey?
Jesus.
God.
He's really good. I'll give you this. Denver is sneaky good.
Champ Bailey is like my favorite player of all time.
Well, he should. Champ was a champ.
Yeah.
Let me say this to your stock. This is what I'll buy. There's a handful of teams right now in this league that were kind of written off that I would not want to play in the postseason. See, New England, by the way, all of a sudden you're like, oh, what's happening in New England? I think that you look at San Francisco right now as a team that if they get in, I don't want any part to do with San Francisco. And Denver in an AFC where I don't think there is an elite team. There just isn't. I think Denver right now sitting at 6-5, if Teddy Two Gloves continues to play this way and as they get healthier along the offensive line, I really like the future of the Denver Broncos. I still think you may be in a Cleveland situation where you're kind of stuck at quarterback, but if they could find a way to get an improvement and get a top 12 quarterback with that roster, I love their future. They got three really talented receivers that are now locked up long-term. Got a couple good backs, a good old line, and I love your defense. So I really like the future of the Broncos, but I can't say that you're dealing with a first ballot Hall of Fame corner.
Micah Parsons has not been an edge rusher historically. He just broke the Cowboys rookie record for sacks.
Yeah. He's a part-time edge rusher.
It's still November. He's a part-time edge rusher.
He doesn't even know what he's doing.
Who's never done it before. Micah Parsons bees different. that being said, yeah, I mean, Javonte Williams is a very good running back. They're not worth much, but cool. He's going to be good. Jerry Judy's a good young receiver. Pat Surtain is going to be one of the better corners in the league for a long time. Those are all really nice building blocks. I think that they need to figure out the quarterback situation. I'm not a big fan of Teddy Two Gloves, although thank you for the money because he covers the spread like nobody's business. Drew Locke sucks. He's in the Zach Wilson camp, an XFL guy down the road. But I think the Broncos have a nice foundation. I think Surtain is going to be a multi-time Pro Bowler. I think Javonte Williams is going to be a multi-time Pro Bowler. I think Jerry Judy is going to be a multi-time Pro Bowler. So there's some
to mention, they just gave extensions to Tim Patrick and Cortland Sutton.
They just beat the Cowboys in Dallas, and then they lost to the Eagles, and then they beat the Chargers. So they've proven they can beat good teams away from home or at home. I like what the Broncos have, but until they answer the quarterback question that just looms so large over that franchise, I think they're going to always be like a bubble playoff team. If they figure that out, I like the foundation.
Dude, that's
I like their foundation better than I like the Rams 4 years from now. I'll tell you that right now.
That segment was amazing simply because we got the Zach Wilson rant. That needs to be
clipped. I didn't expect that.
That just needs to be clipped in its entirety. He's the same as Tim Tebow, just with a different religion.
Have you watched
Someone also wants to
Zach
know
Wilson?
Who the Jewish Tim Tebow is, too, if you could go ahead and throw that one out there at some point.
Do some research
into that. Is there a Jewish quarterback in the league?
I don't know.
Mazel tov.
By the way, it's
Mazel Tov.
T-O-V.
Oh, what did
I say? Said Toff multiple times.
Toff.
Tov. It's like you're Jared Goff.
Yeah, it's all, you know what I mean.
Mazel Tov.
You and the Yarmakulas.
The Jewish Tim Tebow is Josh Rosen.
Oh, well, there you go. See?
Oh, perfect.
We got Josh Rosen, Zach Wilson.
The analogy fits perfectly at
this
point.
They're all the same guy with different religions. Tim Tebow, Zach Wilson, Josh Rosen.
Stockwatch brought to you by Goldberg Jones. When it comes to divorce, custody, and child support issues, trust Goldberg Jones to help. Call 1-800-DIVORCE. Phone questions answered at no charge.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.